The largest firefighting force in the world belongs to the California Department of Forestry. It employs more than 17,000 men and women, and they all start with 67 hours of training at the Wildland Academy. NPR's Aaron Schachter visited a training ground east of San Diego.
Wild sage native manzanillo and chamizo line a hillside in the Sequon Indian Reservation near the town of El Cajon. The plants create a beautiful and fragrant carpet of blossoms, but the dry, oily vegetation is a wildfire waiting to happen, or a great place to learn the ropes of wildland firefighting.
My name is Jim Gonzalez. I'm a fire captain with the California Department of Forestry and Fire Protection. In CDF, our biggest thing is we are an all-risk fire department. We respond statewide for floods. We also respond statewide for earthquakes. Any natural disaster, CDF is there to mitigate it. We are basically the state fire department.
Okay, what we're going to do is we're going to go through hose lay training here.
Captain Pete Scully puts 10 men and women in this boot camp for firefighters through the drill. They each haul 60 pounds of 1.5-inch cotton hose up a 30-degree hillside. And you thought carrying your luggage at the airport was tough.
One thing I want to stress that really got the last group is the physical part of it. People were falling down, falling out, so you need to pace yourself. We want to move along, but we don't want to race. This is not a race. You don't get any extra points for going fast. The other thing, not everybody in this group is equal. So how fast can we go? If we have five people working, how fast can the group go? Fast is the slowest person.
Yeah. Okay.
Scully, who's been fighting fires and training cadets for 25 years, is just the broad-shouldered, square-jawed, tough but caring kind of guy you picture when you think of a firefighter.
Okay, any questions?
One or two.
Pace yourselves out. Everybody do their job, teamwork, and communicate. Okay?
Get the twist out!
They're probably right now, most of them are feeling a little bit low and thinking, you know, this maybe it's not for me. But I guarantee you by tonight after they get back and they start talking amongst themselves, the war stories will start coming out. And before you know it, they'll be all pumped up and ready to go do it again. And so every fire you go to, you learn something, whether it, you know, big fire, small fire, that type of thing. And just making use of that and storing it in the back of your mind somewhere for future use. So it's an ongoing process. I'll probably still be learning when I retire. At least I hope I am.
In this exercise, two teams of five bolt up the hill, the first person holding the nozzle, the others dragging one hose and carrying more on their backs. When 100 feet is laid out, the nozzleman calls for a clamp, which stops the water and allows another hose to be attached.
Well, that hose, help him out with the unraveled hose. Let's go. Guy's killing himself.
Get me up there.
Of course, here there's no blaze topping 1,000 degrees, but these would-be firefighters have to pretend as if there were. And what firefighters do when a blaze is tearing through the brush at Los Alamos, in Malibu, or anywhere else, is to create what's called a hand line.
Which is what we do on any fire, is we have to build a control line around the perimeter of the fire, so that if there's any kind of fire and it's creeping along, that the control line will contain it.
The cadets line up in order with their tools. There are different kinds, each with a different job. One for cutting shrubbery, others for pulling and digging, and lastly, one that rakes and scrapes the soil. In this business, a single wrong swing of a tool can have dire consequences.
Okay, one of the two things are going to happen. You're either going to get very, very tired, or you're going to break the tool. And then when you break the tool, then what happens?
Push-ups.
Oh, I love it, okay?
As they crash through the thickest parts of the brush, an amazing thing happens. Within 5 minutes, a 3-foot-wide trail has been etched into the ground for about 50 yards, and they're still going. During a fire, firefighters can end up doing this backbreaking work for hours at a time, barely stopping for food or all-important water breaks. Captain Gonzalez says it's rarely the actual fire that kills firefighters, but the sun and the heat.
In this business, there's a lot of can-do attitudes. Everybody's gung-ho. Everyone wants to do a good job. There's a lot of yelling and screaming. The adrenaline's going 100 miles an hour. And unfortunately, some of our young kids don't ever want to show weakness to their peers. And that's usually by then it's too late. They've already started into the heat exhaustion and into the heat stroke. So what we have to let them know is that they need to let us know when they're not feeling well.
The trainees have heard the horror stories from Captain Gonzalez and others, but are undaunted. Sarah Wissman and Phil Hong have worked for other fire departments. Say nothing compares to the action they'll see with the California Department of Forestry.
Doing this training, this is the hardest thing I've ever done in my entire life. But I love it. I enjoy helping people, serving my community, and fighting fire is just part of it, protecting my community. So I enjoy it very much. It's very rewarding.
Every day is different. There isn't anything that's the same. Our job spans from hazardous materials to emergency calls, traffic accidents, fires. You got to become the master of all trades here.
Is it fun?
It's awesome. I love it. I used to sit in that desk. Now I'm out here. This is where I wanted to be.
Obviously, there are worse fates than spending 12 hours a day fighting forest fires. Aaron Schachter, NPR News, near El Cajon, California.